Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Fenway Rundown, the premier podcast for all things Boston Red Sox.
I know people harp on the last place thing, but essentially what's important is the record.
If the Red Sox want people to start thinking the ownership cares, then maybe they should talk.
This is the Fenway Rundown, brought to you by Mass Live. Here are your hosts, Chris Cotillo and Sean McAdam.
An annual tradition unlike any other, not the Masters, but the Mass Live MLB Season Predictions Podcast. I'm Chris Cotillo, Sean McAdams here, and three other special guests. Jim Pignatello, Sports Director. Is that your official title at this point? Or do you have your title changes a lot. What is it now?
I'm the Deputy Editor of Mass Live, and I'm in charge of the sports department and a few other things.
So everything you could possibly ask for. Matt Vautour, columnist. I believe there's a supervising reporter tag attached to that as well. And Chris Smith, like me, a lowly beat writer, he joins the show today.
The talent.
Along with the normal cast. We've done this for a few years. Excited to do it for the first time with Sean and his main contribution, as it is every episode. Not the takes, not the reporting, but the insider text ad.
My favorite part.
Mm-hmm. We thought so. Yeah, we want to invite people to join the Insider Text program, where you can keep up to date on all the latest Red Sox news, communicate with myself, with Chris Cotillo, with Chris Smith, ask questions, learn everything, and submit questions for mailbag episodes as we did earlier this week. And to do all of that, just text the word join to 617-751-6257, then click the link where you will be directed to a free 14-day trial period, and after that, an eminently affordable $4.99 per month charge.
We did not reveal the predictions on that in advance of this pod because, you know, this is, again, a big tradition. We've done it year after year. It's brought some of the great inside jokes that we've had here for those of us who cover baseball for Mass Live. None better than last year, Matt Vautour pronouncing the eventual American League Rookie of the Year. You got it right, but you did call him Gunnar Henderson, which is unbelievable, truly.
I think I can effectively argue that I pronounced that right and he pronounces it wrong.
That's fair. Yeah, he'll come up later on.
I would like
on.
To submit that you lose credit for predicting him when you can't pronounce his name.
That's a fair point.
Just do what I do. If you can't pronounce a guy, if you don't know what the pronunciation is of the first
95% name,
say the last name. If you don't know what the pronunciation of the last name is, say the first name.
Yes. That's why you call Tristan Casas Tristan all the time.
It was just his rookie season.
Of course. Yeah, that's a hard one. Five letters. We have a lot of categories. We have a lot to get to. We're going to go around. And we can guarantee there's going to be no worse pronunciation than Gunnar and no worse prediction than what Sean and I had last year at separate sites with Alek Manoah being the Cy Young Award winner in the American League. So we can guarantee some of these will be right. 95% of them will be wrong. We're going to start with some teams. We're going to move on to some awards. Quick explanations from everybody because we don't have all day. And then if there's any debate or any particularly bad predictions, then we can discuss. So we will start... And I will be the point guard here, which is fitting because I'm extremely short. The three American League division winners, I'm going to go with the Baltimore Orioles. Excellent team. Burns pushes them over the top. The Cleveland Guardians, a lot of young pitching. And I think that they just have a program there. Maybe the culture change, as good as Francona is, under Vogt will be good. and the Houston Astros because they still have a lot of talent, and I do not trust the Rangers rotation. We'll go to Sean next because, you know, you are the real co-host of this show.
I'm going to go with the Orioles, too, in the American League East. 101 wins last year, maybe even a little better this year. May not reflect in the win total, but Burns is a big addition, as Chris suggested. The Minnesota Twins are now the default selection in the AL Central almost every year. They never do anything in October, but I think they still have the most talent. And out West, I'm going off the board a little bit and saying this is the Seattle Mariners year. I look at Texas and their rotation issues, and I think Houston has big pitching problems, even with Blake Snell.
Jim.
Well, I'm a little disappointed that Sean stole my thunder and picked the exact three that I had. I swear we did not talk about this.
That's just Sean brown nosing as always with the boss.
I really like the Twins pitching staff, especially, and I do think that it's the Mariners' year. I think that they have the right balance, and I'm excited to see if that actually happens, because that'd be a really exciting pennant race.
Smitty.
Yes, I was looking at some projected standings before I did this, and I noticed pretty much everybody has the Yankees, actually, for the favorites in the AL East. But as was already mentioned by, I think, Sean, Burns is a big addition to an Orioles team that, what, won? Oh, it was you?
Yeah.
We both mentioned it. That's 100 fine. Games. Well, if you both mention it, then Sean gets the upper hand. Yeah, I mean, whatever now. You've lost my track of thinking. Twins, Astros. Twins, because everybody else in the AL Central stinks. I went back and forth with the Astros or the Texas Rangers, but I think ultimately, the Astros are the more talented team.
Matt.
I'm kind of rethinking my entire thing now that I have the same as Smitty here, but I have Orioles, Astros, Twins.
The Orioles are in trouble.
I was the one guy that stuck up for you. With the Gunnar thing, and now you throw me.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I was going to refer to him as Burness just for amusement value, but.
I'm not sure if we're going to be posting the video of this or not. If we do have the video, you'll see Sean make a face when I said Cleveland. So you want to chime in there?
I don't see it. I mean, they do a great job developing young pitching, but I think the lineup is a poor one, and I just don't know. I just don't see them overtaking the Twins.
John, start us off with your three wild card picks.
I have the Yankees, the Texas Rangers, and the Houston Astros. No real contenders in the Central for a wild card for me. The Yankees have some issues, not the least of which is missing Garrett Cole for the first couple of months. But I think they're going to mash a lot, and maybe some other guys step forward in that rotation, be it Rodon or some others. So I have the Yankees. Texas defending champs, still a lot of talent, better in the second half when the injured guys get back. And Houston as the third wild card. I'm not a huge fan of what they look like right now, but I still think they can do well enough to finish third in the West, and that would get them into the wild card.
Jim?
I have the Yankees and Astros. I also have the Blue Jays as the third team. I don't have a lot of faith in the Rangers, kind of like being a great team again this year, but it might just be that, I need to see a little bit more before I buy into them being the best or even the second best in the West. So that's where I'm leaning.
Smith?
Yeah, down year for the Rangers after a World Series championship. I was initially going to go with them, Rangers and Blue Jays, but I've switched to the Mariners instead. So I'm going to go Yankees, Blue Jays, and Mariners. Actually, on this little sheet I have Rangers, Yankees, and Blue Jays. But I changed to the Mariners because of the strong cases that Jim and Sean made about the Mariners.
Mostly Sean.
Yeah, Matt.
I like the Mariners too. I've got the Mariners, the Jays, and the Rangers, which will point out that I do not have the Yankees as a playoff team. I think when they struggle without Cole early, I think the pressure in that clubhouse starts to get lousy. And let's face it, bad things happen when Alex Verdugo's around.
I have the Blue Jays because I think Justin Turner puts them over the top in terms of leadership. We saw it firsthand last year, and they're talented, and the window's closing. their rotation's criminally underrated. Texas, they kind of have that it factor, and in the second half, the rotation's going to be great. And the Yankees, you know, leaving off Seattle and Minnesota here, you know, I think only one team from the Central gets there. I went with Cleveland, and with Seattle, you know, as good of a young rotation as you're going to find, but they're still the Mariners. They'll find a way. Moving on next, the ALCS prediction. We'll start with Smith.
Yeah, so I am going to go with the Orioles over the Yankees. How about that? Can that even happen?
Yeah.
And the number of games that takes.
Yeah, six. So, I mean, I just like the Orioles. You know, I saw them a bunch last year, and I feel like they improved their team. They're going to have a guy that comes in and could be the AL Rookie of the Year again. And, you know, and so I just think that with Burns and everything, I think he's going to have a big year, you know, free agent year. And, I'll go with him.
I have the same exact thing, which is, you know, that's just so much time spent together. Same name, same pick, Orioles over Yankees in six. Matt?
I have the Orioles over the Mariners in six.
Jim?
I have the Mariners over the Orioles. We can't talk when we talk about the Orioles, I guess. That's a thing now, right?
No,
it is. I have the Mariners over the Orioles in five.
And Sean?
I have, like Matt, Baltimore over Seattle in six.
This is a new category we have added this year. And by we, I mean I added it because I've made the categories. Your AL East order of finish, I think it's particularly interesting this year. Sean and I talked about it on the Mailbag Pod the other day and how down he is from talking to people about the Tampa Bay Rays. I will kind of go chalky and give you my five. The Orioles finishing first, as I said. I like Toronto second, the Yankees, then the Rays, and then the Red Sox. Not too many surprises there, but do look at the Red Sox as fifth, and we'll get to more of that after. Jim?
I have the Orioles, Yankees, Blue Jays, Rays, and Sox. You just assume that the Rays will figure it out with their pitching, but just having so many injuries, I just think it's a bridge too far at this point. And of course, there are things that have happened with that roster that they were relying on to build on that have happened since. And so I just think it's going to be a little bit of a year that we look back on and say, oh, that was a down year for them, and they'll bounce back next year again.
Sean, yours is kind of like a Sudoku puzzle because we know you're giving hints in what order you're going to go in. So we kind of know it, but go for it.
Yeah, I have Baltimore, New York, Toronto, Boston, Tampa Bay. So I envision not a great Red Sox team, but one that might finish over 500. And I think the bottom falls out on the Rays. And I'll probably look foolish on this, both having the Red Sox out of the cellar and having the Rays there. They're always seemingly better than they should be, but I believe this year will be the exception to the rule.
Jim, this is what you get for hiring such a homer.
And in that situation, Sean, the Rays will draft like five tremendous pitchers in the first five rounds, I assume is also part of that.
And make up for it. Yep.
Right.
Matt?
I have the Orioles, Jays, Yankees, Rays, Red Sox.
And Smith.
Orioles, Yankees, Toronto Blue Jays, Rays, and Red Sox. Another year in last place.
There you go. So Sean alone in his take that the Red Sox are going to be fourth. Not a surprise after what we heard in the mailbag the other day. We'll move over to the National League, and I'll start it off. Three division winners. I think two are supreme chalk. I'm going to go different in the Central, I think, again. Atlanta and the Dodgers, I think, are just stacked. They're, you know, if they don't make the playoffs, something horrible has happened. And I like the Cincinnati Reds in a kind of mediocre NL Central. You know, I just think that they have this young core. They can be exciting. They were very exciting for a long period last year. No more Votto. But I think a team that could surprise some people, and, you know, you never think of them as a contender, but I think we should start. Sean?
I have the two locks as well, Atlanta in the East, Dodgers in the West. Hard to see anyone going against either of those two, frankly. I'm going to go with the Cubs in the Central. It is not a great division, as Chris hinted. I just think that they did enough in bringing Bellinger back and a few additions to the pitching staff that they will win a thoroughly mediocre division.
Smitty.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with those same three. The Cubs, I think they had a really good what second half last year, and so or you know a pretty good second half last year. So it gives them some momentum, and so yeah, I'll go with those three.
And Jim? Well, I guess we haven't done Matt yet either, so I shouldn't say and, but Jim, go ahead.
I also have the Braves and Dodgers in the East and the West, and I'm going to roll the dice on the Cardinals in the Central. It does feel like that division is weak and could kind of go a number of directions.
And Matt.
I also have the Braves, Dodgers, and Cubs. I think the two are obvious, and I think the Cubs need fewer boxes checked to go. They need fewer things to go right to be decent than a lot of the other teams in that division.
Nationally wild card. I think people look at the American League as being a lot better. We look at there's some real title contenders there. A little bit weaker once you get to the National League and some of those wild card teams, and a little bit wide open. We'll start with Matt here.
Yeah, people remember I was way over devoted to the Phillies last year, and in almost all of my predictions. Thankfully, Gunnar overshadows the how much I over committed to the Phillies, but I've got him as a wild card. I think Arizona is there as well, and I'm with you on the Reds. I think this might be a year too soon to have them in the playoffs, but I like them. I think they're fun, and this might be me picking with something that I think would be fun for baseball.
Smith.
Yes, so I have the Philadelphia Phillies and Dave Dombrowski. I
Well,
have
thank you.
Diamondbacks, young core, who got to the World Series last year. And my final one, I'm going to change it to the Reds. They
God,
convinced me
you are
harder
so
than
easily
he is
persuaded.
easily influenced.
Yeah.
I know. It's
Who
not
do
good.
you who do you pick to win March Madness? I'll change that in 2 seconds.
Okay, there's no chance that UConn isn't winning
No, they're gonna get knocked
because
out.
not
I
only are
like.
they 10 times better than everybody else, but I really don't want UConn to
Where's
win
my referee whistle to stop this basketball talk?
UConn. I like the idea that Smith goes to the po his polling place on election day, and whoever has the most signs is the one that's getting his vote.
Yeah. The swing vote, ultimate swing vote. Sean on wild cards.
Yep, I have the Phillies. I also have two other teams in the West. So the Dodgers are insurmountable, I think, according to most, but I'm going to go with both the Giants and the Padres. I think Arizona takes a step back, but I think the Giants and Padres rebound.
Jim.
I have the Phillies as well. Thank you again, Chris, for the Dombrowski impression. I was looking forward to that today. And I have
In
Arizona and the Giants.
particular,
Exactly. I have Arizona and San Francisco as the other two.
go chalk with Philly for the same reasons. The Cubs, because I didn't have them winning the division. In Arizona, I mean, I know Erod's hurt, but their rotation was kind of their weakness last year. I think he's going to help them. And with Gallen and some of the other young guys they have, obligatory mention, go Heels. And I like them there. NLCS, this is possibly chalky as well, but Dodgers over Phillies in five for me. You look at the Dodgers roster, and so much would have to go wrong for them not to really make it to the World Series. Honestly, I mean, I know it's a long season and all that, but there's just no holes. So I'll go with them to beat the Phillies in five. Jim.
Give me the Dodgers over the Braves in seven.
Smith.
Phillies over the Dodgers in seven.
Sean.
The real World Series, Atlanta over the Dodgers in seven.
And Matt.
Nobody ever picks series in four. I'm taking Dodgers over the Braves in four, just for fun.
So we all think it's the Dodgers against a National League East team with a lot of good players. So look, I mean, that's talk about an echo chamber we have on this podcast, but I think that one's easy. World Series picks. Everybody knows who we picked for the pennant, if you can remember back 5 minutes when we did the AL. I have the Dodgers over the Orioles in five. I just think those are the two best teams. There's good pitching matchups across the board, a lot of young talent, good for baseball, exciting East Coast, West Coast. But the Dodgers get it done. Smith.
I have the Phillies over the Orioles in six.
That's a great travel situation for national
Oh,
baseball writers. As good as
I
it gets. Sean?
have Atlanta over Baltimore in six.
Matt?
All right, I've been thinking a lot about the 1990 World Series when everybody assumed the Braves.
Yeah, I remember it well.
Yeah. I've got the Orioles over the Dodgers in six.
And Jim?
I have the Dodgers over the Mariners in five.
So, not as much Dodgers love there as I thought we'd get. But, you know, we can only... You can only go chalky so much. So that is our predictions for standings, teams, all that type of stuff. Move on to individual awards. Anybody have any picks they absolutely hate from anybody here from the World Series picks, anything like that?
No, I don't think there's anything outrageous in there.
You still think the worst pick of the day is the Guardians to win the Central?
So far.
I'm all in on them then. I can't wait. We'll move on to the awards. We have a chance to repeat great history here. We can guarantee out of these six awards, there will be somebody who makes a horrific pick. There's some really good ones in the past. Matt obviously got the pick right, said it wrong. Chris Smith had Corey Kluber to win Cy Young like 2 years ago, which is unbelievable.
It wasn't 2 years ago. It was the first
it was year. Last year. Come on.
It was the yeah. first year that he was
opening day starter.
Opening day starter.
That's right. I had Giolito a couple years ago and he was horrendous.
Me too.
Noah last year. But you know, we're due to get hot, and I think this is going to be our opportunity. So we are going to give you the American League award winners, starting with the MVP. And for old time's sake, I'll go back to a well and an old friend here. Gunnar Gunnar Henderson takes it home, does rookie of the year 1 year, MVP the next. Give me the Orioles young star. Matt.
I love Julio Rodriguez, and I'm clouded by that, but I think the Mariners are going to be good. I think he'll get attention for that. I think he's the guy.
Sean.
I have Julio Rodriguez as well.
The two of you just guaranteeing he has a down year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Jim.
I have Juan Soto.
And then after an MVP year, what does that contract look like? 600?
I can't even imagine, honestly.
Yeah. And Smith.
I thought I was going to be the only one with Juan Soto. Jim, come on. I go with Juan Soto.
I think he's going to be motivated. That swing's going to be incredible there. That's not a bad
motivated.
All right, Matt, get off the call.
Motivated.
American League Cy Young. Sean, I think this is the one we screw up the most over time. So who are
I
you cursing?
I think we might be lined up again.
Who are we picking here?
I'm going with Logan Gilbert.
You're close to me. I'm going to take George Kirby.
Okay.
Oh, me too.
So one of those. One. Those are the guys I was saying the Red Sox should go after. So they're just fresh in the mind, but they're very good. They're young. They turn the corner. Good pick, Jim.
Thanks.
Smith.
Corbin Burns. Show me the money, free agent you.
You can tell I listened to a lot of the Fenway Rundown podcast based on Sean and I matching on things. Now you and I on this one.
Who doesn't? And Matt.
This is where I wrote down Burness just for your amusement, but Corbin Burns, I think, he's my Cy Young.
Burns?
And I think he's a guy that I know that doesn't seem like they ever will right now, but I think he's a guy the Red Sox could pay a lot of money for in a year. I think that we should start thinking about that already. You know, that market's weaker. Zach Wheeler's off the board. He's the guy I would have, you know, really wanted the Red Sox to get from my perspective. I do think that, you know, he's going to get really, really well paid in about a year. Last but not least, American League Rookie of the Year. I voted for it last year, and yet I still didn't steal the show with the pick. Matt, who do you have there?
Really wanted to take Wyatt Langford, who I like a great deal, but I think Jackson Holliday is well positioned for it.
Smith?
Yeah, I have Jackson Holliday as well. Easier name, too, for a Baltimore Oriole.
Sean?
I do have Wyatt Langford.
And Jim.
Went with Evan Carter.
I also went. We're really, you know.
My guy.
Gave Sean a lot of crap for brown-nosing a minute ago, but now we have two straight correct picks. Evan Carter, I mean, already showed it on the biggest stage, has the rookie eligibility. I just feel like that's a good pick. And, you know, I think some of us said the Rangers are going to be down. I don't think he will be. Looks like a future star and very poised last offseason as well. National League MVP. This can sometimes turn into a pissing Red Sox fans off that Mookie Betts is no longer here. We will start there. Do any of the four of you have Mookie Betts?
Yo.
So Jim, yes. Matt, yes.
I do.
You just explanations, please.
I think that there's so, like, with the pieces that were added there, he's been such an important piece already, and I think some of the pressure is off him. I hesitate a little bit now moving to shortstop, but I think he'll hit. I think and he'll be the classic best player on the best team. I think you'll probably see Ohtani not have the same number of plate appearances as he might, just I think they'll probably be a little careful with him. And I think Betts is the guy.
There was an MVP race between two guys all last year. It was Mookie and the guy I'm going to pick here, Acuna. I think he's the best player in baseball. John?
This is my flyer. This is the one I go out on a limb on. I'm going with Fernando Tatis Jr. I think this is the year, finally healthy, maybe not as much pressure given the losses the Padres have had, and I think he explodes. Great talent.
None of us bet on baseball against company policy and just wouldn't be the right thing to do, but I bet you could get ridiculously good odds on Fernando Tatis compared to the rest of these guys.
Duly Smith. Noted.
Smith?
I was going to go with Fernando Tatis, earlier in the day, but I changed it to Acuna, and I'm not going to change it back to Tatis because I'm not easily influenced.
Well, who knows? Maybe my explanation on Acuna was what did it.
When we revisit this at the end of the year, I want to see how Smith's changed picks did versus his initial picks.
It's a question of
your listening versus your gut, and I'm curious.
Actually looking at it, Acuna's the favorite, 5-1, and then Mookie, Ohtani, and then Tatis at 10-1, which is higher than I would have thought. He's fourth there, tied with Harper. The next guy on that list was the guy I was debating, Freddie Freeman. Somehow, after all this time, criminally underrated, but went with Acuna instead. National League Cy Young Award winner. I teased it because I said he was the guy that I would have signed if I were the Red Sox. He signed an extension. Another guy who has put together an unbelievably good career, and that is Zach Wheeler in Philadelphia. He might not make the Hall of Fame because Franchy Cordero did hit him 500 feet, and that might be the deciding factor. But if not, I think he's poised for a great year. Sean?
That is not the Zach Cy Young choice I was expecting from you.
I know. Well, I can't do it every year.
I'm going Spencer Strider with the Braves.
Matt?
I am too, actually. I'm blinded by that beautiful piece of hair above his mouth.
Smith.
Yamamoto.
Okay, that's bold. We'll get a chance to see the first of that at the early hour of 6 a.m. Well, I guess this is airing on Friday. We're recording on Wednesday. Peek behind the curtain. If he gets shelled in the first start when people listen to this, then they're going to think you're an idiot. But that's a bold play.
Yeah, I don't even know how he's done in spring training so far, but just reading so much about him in the offseason, the scouting reports, the stuff, I like him.
Do you have him for Rookie of the Year?
I do, yes.
Okay, well, if you didn't, that was going to be a bad decision. I'll tease that, too, by saying I also do. And I think Jim is last on Cy Young.
I had Zach Wheeler, too, actually, Chris.
This is getting a little insane. We're about 50% hit here.
Nope.
Rookie of the year.
He's been bad in spring training, so.
Doesn't matter.
Never mind.
Training stats mean nothing. Go on.
Rookie of the year, some candidates, especially, Jung Ho Lee coming over and some different guys. I think Yamamoto is the clear favorite there. The odds reflect it. I'm not as high as Smitty with the Cy Young pick, but I do have him as Rookie of the Year, as Smith does. Jim, are you third on that?
No, I mean, the question is whether we think that whoever ends up voting for that award will vote for him in the unique scenario that when Japanese right. players come over as stars already established in their leagues. I'm going to go with Jackson Merrill. I kind of had to pick between Jacksons. And, I didn't say why Betts was kind of my favorite either, but I think similarly, there's a real narrative storyline between Merrill moving to potentially to play center because they have so many darn shortstops on that team. And if he hits and they, you know, and that's part of the narrative for them, I think that he will, it'll be a narrative a lot of voters could buy into if they're not, you know, thinking that Yamamoto as a candidate for rookie of the year.
John.
I am picking the rookie who actually we could forgive Matt for mispronouncing, Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
And Matt.
Yoshinobu Yamamoto.
Very good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've been practicing there, and
Oh,
there's some other tough ones here. I think the most like
no.
Gunnar would have been Mason Wynn, just because of the strange way that he spells Mason, but I steered pretty clear.
It definitely the not the least favorite Mason we all know, because of our staff composition with Chris. That is the award winners. Anybody think that there are particularly bad picks in there? I think Yamamoto for Cy Young is a little bit of a stretch, but I think he's gonna have a great year too with Rookie of the Year. So anybody have any big complaints?
I think it's not a bad Cy Young pick, because if he is good, there's going to be so much conversation about it. And I think if he's terrific, it's going to be there's going to be mania around it, and that's the sort of thing that can ride him in there. I think if you're trying to take bold picks on this thing, which I've been known to do, I like Smith's pick on that one, because even though it's tougher to be right on it, he is a shot to be right and could be talking trash to us at the end of the year.
I'm sort of fascinated by what the like national narrative will be around that team if they are the juggernaut we think. I mean, is this going to be like Durant Warriors and, you know, the
Yeah,
Patriots when they were
shaming
running
them.
off wins? You know, is it going to be sort of this thing of that's all we talk that, you know, that's what's the big conversation piece, you know, and is it, you know, does it dominate the conversation that way? And to Matt's and I get, you know, Christmas point too. Really good players on that team. Just the profile will even grow because of that, if that's the case.
Just looking at betting odds because I find it interesting, both in a work setting and recreationally, not for baseball again. For the American League MVP, the favorite is Judge at +550. None of us had him. Alvarez is also in the top four there. Corey Seager, Adley Rutschman, Bobby Witt, not mentioned by any of us. In the National League, Ohtani is high up there. Nobody talked about Harper. Cy Young wise, in the National League, the favorites are Strider, then Wheeler, Webb, Yamamoto, and Zach Gallen. In the American League, no one had the favorite, Kevin Gausman, or the secondary guy, Framber Valdez. So some guys we left off. And Rookie of the Year, kind of had all the chalk in the American League spoken for. In the National League, Yamamoto at +175 is a very, very.
I am stunned that Valdez is second on that Cy
Me
Young
too.
award after tanking in the second half last
Me
year.
too.
Yeah.
The funny thing about Judge is, A, the health is always going to be a question for a guy as long as he is in playing the field. That's always becomes a thing. But on top of that, it's so hard for him to have what's going to be perceived as a great year for him, because he set the standard so high. And I think that's one of those things. He might have the best year in baseball, but it won't be looked at the same
I
way as it
also
would
would
be.
worry about what moving to center is going to do to him
Yeah.
physically.
Yeah.
There's a lot of ground to cover. You can get beat up. And this is a guy who has some difficulty or has had in the past difficulty staying on the field. So to me, Soto would be a much more logical MVP bet if you're going with the Yankee.
I really like Bobby Witt. He's one of my favorite players to watch. I just worry that they're going to be out of it early, and you know, a lot of voters will say, "Well, he did plenty of meaningful games after the All-Star break, and so great year, but not an MVP candidate." And Gausman, I considered him strongly too, but I'm not picking somebody with a shoulder issue in March and then finding out in April that my pick is already up. So I figured just from a likelihood of issue standpoint, I zagged.
Moving on to the Red Sox, partially the featured part of this today, and obviously what we cover on this show on a daily basis. We'll have some individual awards, some Red Sox predictions here. First of all, the record and the place in the American League East. You know that Jim, Matt, Chris Smith, and myself all had them fifth. Homer Sean had them fourth. But the win total and a preview here, no matter what happens, Jim Pignatello always has about 6 to 7 fewer wins for the Red Sox than everybody else. Some years it works, some days it doesn't. So we'll let you start it off. Where are you going this year?
Well, so I will remind you that I was the highest on them last year, and then look what
happened. It
backfired,
right? Yes.
It was by like one game, but I was Mr. Sunshine last year, like Sean is this year, and that didn't go well. I have them, as you said, in last place, of course. I have them with 77 wins, 77 and 85 this year. I think, to be honest, I kind of skewed optimistic for how I kind of foresee this going, but I'll be fascinated to see what the rest of the group thinks.
John.
Yeah, let's not get out of control here. I have them at 4, but I have them a game over 500 at 82 and 80. I think some good things happen. Abreu and Rafaela blossom. They get decent seasons out of a couple of the pitchers who need to step up. I am a big Trevor Story guy this year, so I think they are a tick above 500 at 82 and 80.
I will be the inverse of that at 80 and 82. Good for fifth in a competitive division. Smith.
Yeah, that's what I had too, 80 and 82. I mean, you look at them last year, and they were above 500 for, you know, basically a 500 team.
They were the most 500 team of all
time.
They
were a 500, yeah. 500 team, but
until they quit.
You know, and then they quit in September, and they, you know, they went 8-9-19 in September and the one game in October. So I think that they'll, you know, I mean, that reflects that they can be about another average team again this year. And I say 80 and 82.
Matt McClain being evaluated from shoulder injury from MLB trade rumors. So he's going to have an MRI, and I'm going to change my NL Central pick. Matt.
Well, I think they're going to be sellers at the deadline. And I've got them with 74 wins. And I think that's going to be, I think that's going to reflect a rough finish, because I think they're going to be sellers.
Well, that'll be a novelty around here. They've really run through the tape the last 2 years.
Yeah. Very reasonable.
Yeah. I see that point too, because if they are committed to unloading Jansen, if he's healthy by then in August, Martin, Pavetta, O'Neill, some of these guys, like, it could get ugly. You're right. But they also have a lot of young players that are going to play a lot. So we range from 74 to 82, all kind of around that projected total, 77.5, 78. With Sean with the rosiest point of view, as he often does on everything we talk about on this podcast, and Matt having them at 74. We move on now to the Red Sox MVP. Sean, you said you're a big Trevor Story guy. He is going to be my MVP for the season. I know it should be Devers every year because he has the most talent and the numbers are there, but I think Story is going to take a huge step forward. He has a lot to prove. Fully healthy, full spring training has looked good there. I go with Story. Do you agree on that?
I do not. I do think Story's going to have a huge bounce back year, and people will be happy about that. But the guy who's really going to take off is Tristan Casas. I can see him hitting 35 to 40. I think he's a star in the making. I think he is going to be their best run producer and their MVP.
Smitty on MLB.
Yes, I would go with Tristan Casas too. You know, I just think, like, yeah, everything Sean said there, but, you know, he's a true superstar. The ability to control the strike zone like he does, just so disciplined, and, you know, what he showed with the ability to control the strike zone during the first half, but then also the ability to add, you know, power and, you know, be a complete hitter during the second half. I think he's just going to have, like, the second half that he had last year, I think it's going to be the whole, you know, the whole season this year.
Matt.
Connor Wong. I'm kidding.
What the hell?
No, I've got Devers. It's one of those things that I think he's gotten to a point where he's almost a little bit underappreciated. I think having Casas be better around him, I think Story having a better year, I think helps. I think helps Devers' numbers, and I think he has a strong season.
And Jim.
I have Devers as well. We'll circle back on the why when we get to predictions, but excited to see what he does this year.
We'll go with pitcher of the year for the Red Sox. Last year, I think I had Pavetta, who, if you took like individual outings, would probably be correct. None of us, I don't think, had Chris Martin being the best player in baseball last year, which he was. The greatest season I've ever seen. My pick here, it kind of depends on age. If you're over 50, you call him Bello. If you're under 50, you call him Bayo. And I really, really think he's going to take off and have a very good year. You know, the Red Sox signed Brian Bello to a big-time extension. They made him the opening day starter. He's embracing all that, and I think he just takes off. Sean?
Bello, since I'm over 50. No. I am going with Cutter Crawford. I think this is his breakout season.
I'm writing these down, and now both of you have faked me out, and I have to cross them out. So thanks for Cutter.
Just give it a minute, then. Let it breathe.
Okay.
Crawford is a guy that takes the big step forward. He's had a terrific spring. I think that continues. I think he will be their best starter.
Jim?
I'm under 50, for not so much longer, but still. And I'm going to go with Bayo. I found this to be a really tough choice, to be honest. Like, it feels like you're going to throw a dart and pit guys with upside like Cutter Crawford. I think what I like that Breslow, who we believe in, especially his ability to, you know, analyze pitchers and project them out. I think the fact that they invested in him and, as Chris said, made him the opening day starter, I'm going to buy into that Breslow has a lot of faith that this is going to be a big step forward for Bayo.
Matt, I'm going to go with Connor Wong here too.
who is your over 50 person that pronounces it Bello?
Probably
no, I just there's a lot of people that think it's Bello.
Gotcha. I was trying to figure out what.
I think most people think it's Bello. I don't know. Like, you hear fans talking about it or radio, whatever, and it's Bayo. It's
Bello and Cutta.
Yeah, which, you know, I'm on the other side of that fence because I get Cotillo and it's Cotillo, so I feel his pain. But Matt, go ahead.
I have Bayo as well, and for the next couple of weeks, I still am under 50. I think he's got fun stuff. I like his kind of his approach, and I think having been through last year with expectations, having some great outings and some down stuff, I'm really eager to see how he puts it all together. Because even if the Red Sox are lousy, if it's something like if he has a takes a step forward, it can be a sort of thing for this team. Like, at least every 5 days, people get excited about seeing him pitch, and I'm really kind of hoping he becomes that kind of guy, and I'm predicting as such.
And Smitty,
of course, I'm going with Cutter Crawford because I've been high on him since his first old minor league season.
Been high on something.
I mean, you look at the numbers and the, you know, advanced numbers, and they're just way better than, you know, what Bayo had last year. Expected ERA, 87th percentile, expected batting average, 88th percentile. Chase rate was in the 82nd percentile. I mean, he's in the red in most of the Baseball Savant stuff. So I just think he's their best pitcher. He should be starting on opening day.
And I think underrated still. By a lot of people, just because he only went, you know, four and a third, whatever, all the time, but a guy who definitely could have a big year. This is the fun one. Three Red Sox predictions. We used to do, I think, one Red Sox bold prediction. Now we're going to do three each. I want them all at the same time, including one bold one. We will start with Sean McAdam.
It's leaving season. Alex Cora leaves as manager. Sam Kennedy leaves as president, and the bold Kyle Teal is the starting catcher in August.
So the first two are two separate predictions?
Yes.
Okay. And Teal. And
what was so complicated about that?
Well, he introduced leaving season. I thought we were pairing them together.
Because there were two of them.
I think Cora is kind of chalky. I have the same one. What's the rationale on Sam? Just a new title?
Just a lot of FSG stuff to attend to, not the amount of time that is needed to focus on the Red Sox day to day. We've seen this gradual promotion of him in the big picture with Fenway Sports Group. And I think he decides it's time to give up the CEO and president title of the Red Sox, and someone else is put in.
Jim.
I don't know that I'm going to be able to match what you guys have here, but my first one is, I think the Devers sets career highs in both home runs and on base percentage. He's getting into his prime years here, and I think we're going to see a big jump forward.
I'm not necessarily saying that on-field performance and hitting has a lot to do with what you're willing to like kind of say and talk about as a leader, but I really liked his mentality coming into spring training. I'm hoping that we'll see that kind of all be a part of the overall maturity that we see out of the team's, long-term signed star. My second one is I think this is bold. We'll call this one the bold one because the contract kind of makes it a little bit harder to, wrap our head around, but I'm going to say Trevor Story is not the second baseman for the Red Sox, or not, excuse me, not starting for the Red Sox, period, by the end of the season. If he's really good, I think maybe they find a way to pay some of that contract and trade him to a contender for something of real value. And if he's really bad, I think maybe they sit him down and they give another one of the prospects a shot at second or move the infield around a little. I have two, but
I was thinking of making that one of the bold predictions of him playing so well he gets traded. Like I don't think it's that ridiculous, but yeah, and your third?
I was thinking about this too. I think the saves leader for the team is not on the opening day roster, and including Kenley Jansen, whether he's on the DL or not, I'm going to say including that it's not him either.
I have one similar. Matt.
I actually have Kenley Jansen does not lead the team in saves was one that I had out there. Not as that bold, but I do think somebody else, it might be somebody on the roster, but I don't think it'll be Kenley Jansen, whether it's his health. I think if he's healthy, he gets traded, and maybe, earlier than the deadline for a team that wants to fix their closer situation
We've seen that
quicker.
before for sure, where a team has, Sean's mentioned this in several episodes in the past, that what happened with the Royals last year, where team just can't figure is good and can't figure out the ninth for a month and a half, and they're willing to make the move now instead of waiting for July for sure.
I think that I also have Cora leaving. I think that's become almost a fait accompli at this point. I have Nick Pivetta being traded at the deadline as my bold prediction. I think he has a pretty good year. Red Sox will recognize that they're probably going to be at the point where they'll get the most value for him right now than maybe at any other point for a team that needs a pitcher and that has a pretty good playoff sort of mentality and approach.
Your bold predictions that a bad team trades a rental at the deadline? Ed Smith?
I picked specifically Nick Pavetta, yes.
That's right.
Yeah, so I know I had Tristan Casas as the MVP of the Red Sox, but so he's going to have to post some big numbers because Story, I have hitting 30 home runs. He's hasn't hit 30 home runs in 5 years or 6 years or whatever, but I think he's going to have a big year. I think the bat speed will have improved and yada, yada, yada. He's the guy to hit 30. Hauk is going to be their second best starter behind Crawford. I think he'll be even better than Bayo this year. I like it's weird with him, because there's a lot of times I think he should be in the bullpen, but I think that what I've seen with him in spring training, the improved command, mechanics, everything. He's only walked three batters. It looks like he's ready and primed for a good year. Finally, he gets a full season where they're, where he's able to establish himself. And then the last one, kind of going off what people are saying about the closer and all that, I think by the end of the year, Isaiah Campbell will be the closer. I know that you would think that like if Kenley was traded at the deadline and Hendricks wants to be back, I just think that Hendricks is it's very ambitious to be back by the trade deadline with the surgery obviously that he had, and we've seen a lot of delays of guys that want to come back. So I don't see him coming back until 2025. And when you look down that bullpen and everything, like Campbell's got good stuff. He held left-handers too. He's extremely good against left-handers. And in the offseason, he worked on a different pitch, a sinker, two-seamer to, improve against righties. So I think, he's got that toughness and that, he could maybe be the closer by the end of the year.
When you go last, you don't really have that many great options because a lot have been taken. Number one, Story gets MVP votes and finishes in the top 10. I was going to go a little higher on that. I think he's going to have a huge year. not too bold, I don't think, because he's had that in the past. Let's say semi-bold. Number two is the easy, chalky one that Cora coaches or manages his last game in a Red Sox uniform. We've been saying it for months. The writing's on the wall there. And number three, I thought this was outside the box. It's not, because Chris Smith just came up with a wild card to lead the Red Sox in saves or take over in the second half. I have the Red Sox closer in the second half of the season being Justin Slayton. Not often you see a Rule 5 pick emerge in that role. We're kind of in the same line of thinking. But Justin Slayton has to be better than Isaiah Campbell because he was not traded for Luis Urias, and by default, that makes him better in that way.
Well, as we've seen, people make bad trades.
That's right.
And if I can if I can drop in real quick, just to correct myself, I think I said story at second. Obviously, anywhere I was saying he will not be a starter. Period for the Red Sox.
I will edit that, and I'll edit this too.
You don't have to edit that. It's okay.
I'm getting good at it. All right. That is our predictions panel. Thank you all for your,
well, if you want to go for a fourth prediction, Jim could be right on this one. So you go with Trevor Story at second base by the end of the year and Marcelo Meyer at shortstop by the end of the year. So here you go.
That's possible.
Trevor Story back to second.
I don't think so. That is our predictions panel. Sean, one more time, how do the good people track everything we do as part of Mass Live's Red Sox coverage in an exclusive manner?
Simply text the word join to 617-751-6257. Click the link to subscribe, which comes with a free 14-day or 2 weeks, whichever comes first, free trial period, and then the very affordable $4.99 monthly charge, the best money you'll spend this baseball season.
That is veteran leadership right there, doing the ad read so well in front of the boss. Jim, how do you do?
Oh, great as always. My favorite part of the podcast.
Perfect. Fenway Rundown for today. We're doing some big game hunting for guests next week. That's called a tease in the business. And if you want to know who we're going to have, sign up for the Fenway Rundown Insider Text.
This has been the Fenway Rundown, brought to you by Mass Live.